today, rather tonight, we all have assembled here to observe the memorial ceremony of Mohan Rupa Das. Who left 3 days ago, why do we observe such ceremony? Mainly for two reasons. One is to remember the personality who used to be in our midst, and through this remembrance, realize the fact that our existence in this material nature is temporary, and although we leave this material nature at some point in time, yet we continue to exist. So these are the two most important purposes in attending or observing such an occasion. Let us remember Mohan Rupa Das. Let's try to recall him as Aravinda Dalayataksha Das just mentioned. He was a wonderful devotee. Yes, indeed, he was a wonderful devotee. He took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he always maintained a very humble attitude due to his taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One can become humble only when one recognizes the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, in the material nature, it is very difficult for one to become humble. In this material nature, by nature, everyone is very arrogant. Everyone is very proud. Everyone thinks himself to be the greatest. Only when one recognizes the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can one become truly humble. In relation to the greatness of the Lord, when one recognizes His insignificant position, he can become humble. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord is naturally humble. He remains submissive to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the Supreme Proprietor and who is the Supreme Controller. It is very wonderful that Krishna consciousness movement has spread in South Africa, and it is increasingly expanding. More and more people are becoming aware of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and taking shelter of Him. It is due to that fact that Mohan Rupa Das could take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And when one takes the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, his life becomes successful. When one surrenders unto Krishna, Krishna, who is all cognizant, all knowing, and who is the super soul of every living entity, reciprocates. And even though the person may not have achieved perfection, whatever imperfection may there be in him, Krishna covers it up. When Mohan Rupa was in the last phase of his life, it was a very beautiful sight that he was surrounded by his family members and devotees who were chanting the holy name. And in this way, very peacefully, he left his body. And when one leaves his body in that way, he inevitably achieves the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. What Krishna will do with him, that is up to Krishna. We cannot or we should not try to dictate Krishna. Rather, we should depend upon Krishna. But we should have one conviction that when one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna will take care of him. What are the possibilities? There are only two possibilities, generally. When one takes shelter of Krishna, what happens after he leaves his body? I'll say three possibilities. The third possibility is rather remote. Therefore, I didn't want to mention it, but still, we'll consider it. The first possibility is that Krishna takes him back to the spiritual sky. Krishna finishes all his material affairs and calls him back, takes him back to the spiritual sky. The second possibility is that Krishna makes him take birth in a situation where he can continue to render service unto him. Now, for a devotee, both these possibilities are equally beneficial, equally desirable. Whether one goes back to the spiritual sky or whether one takes birth in the material nature in order to continue to render service, actually are non-different, because when we render service to Krishna, that situation is non-different from being in the spiritual sky. And the third possibility, which as I said is remote, is that Krishna makes one or rather Krishna may make one go through the higher planetary systems, heavenly planets, where one can have various types of enjoyments, provided he has this desire to enjoy. Krishna makes him go through this enjoyment, if he has the desire for that, and then he finishes those, uproots those desires from his heart in this way, by making him go through that, and then Krishna again brings him back to his lotus feet. Therefore, it has been described in the scriptures that when one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna will take care of him. How Krishna will take care of him is entirely up to him. It is like when the son surrenders himself to the father, then the father knows how to take care of the child, how to take care of his son. Son doesn't have to decide, my father will take care of me in this way or that way. Or others doesn't have to tell the father how he should take care of the son. Therefore, a devotee's business is simply to surrender unto Krishna and just leave it up to him. And that is how this Krishna consciousness or devotion to Krishna is all auspicious. And when one takes to the process of Krishna consciousness, no inauspiciousness can come to him. Now we can consider another, even more remote possibility. That is generally what happens to the human beings after they leave their bodies. Those who do not surrender unto Krishna, those who do not become devotees, they remain subject to the reactions of their previous actions. Now for a devotee this doesn't happen. Why? Because when a devotee surrenders unto Krishna, then all his past karmic reactions are wiped out, is taken care of. He doesn't have any karmic reaction because he has surrendered himself unto Krishna. So Krishna took his responsibility completely. It is only those who do not surrender unto Krishna but stand independently, they become subjected to their actions. And that is why they become subjected to the reactions of their actions. And in the material nature, most of the people consciously or unconsciously commit various kinds of sins. As a result of those sins, one becomes subjected to judgment. And who is the supreme judge? The supreme judge is Yamaraj. So, in normal condition, a living entity in the material nature, mind you, this doesn't generally apply to the devotees. Those who have not surrendered themselves to Krishna, they become subjected to the judgment of Yamaraj. And there, Yamaraj actually judges. He considers what he has done throughout his life. And accordingly, he gives his judgment. Accordingly, he awards him rewards or punishments. Now, the consideration is that even if a devotee goes to Jamraj, generally, as I mentioned, the devotees don't have to. But say consider that even if it happens, one goes to Jamraj, then what will be the devotee's attitude towards Jamraj? Because the devotee knows that Jamraj is one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. He is a Mahajan. There are 12 Mahajans, 12 most exalted, exemplary devotees of the Lord. Those 12 devotees are Brahma, Narad, Lord Shiva, Kapil, Dev, Kumar, four Kumaras, Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar, Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, the father of Sita Devi, Bhishma Dev, the grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, Sukadev Goswami, Bali Maharaj, and Jamraj. So these are the 12 Mahajans, the most exalted devotees. So when a devotee gets an opportunity to see Jamraj face to face, what will be his natural reaction? He will be ecstatic to have the darshan of such an exalted devotee. He will offer obeisances and offer praises in his glory. And how will Jamraj react towards him? Just this attitude towards Jamraj, even if he had any sin, will be wiped out. So in this way, for a devotee, there can be no inauspiciousness. In whichever way, wherever he goes after he leaves his body, he's going to be all auspicious. Therefore, when I was in the hospital next to Mohan Rupa that day, I was telling everybody, don't worry. he is fine. He is perfectly situated. It's only a matter of time when he leaves the body. That's nature's arrangement. Nature will take care when the time will be for us to leave the body. But when one leaves the body, he'll be perfectly situated. And after all, to remain entangled in this body, to remain encaged in this body is not a very pleasing situation. It's a very, very difficult situation. We may think that, oh, it's so wonderful to be here, to be alive in this body, and I do not want to die. But actually, when you leave the body, we'll feel that what a relief it is. What a relief it is. The body has so many entanglements, so many difficulties. Consider, to maintain this body, we have to eat. After we eat, we have to digest the food. We have to breathe. If we can't get the proper air, if we can't breathe, it is so difficult, it will be so painful. If we are placed in a situation when you cannot breathe, how will you feel? It will be extremely painful. So we can see that every moment we are going through so much difficulties due to this body. But nature makes the arrangement. Like a time comes when you don't need to breathe anymore. A time comes when you don't have to eat anymore. When the body becomes old, when the body becomes weak, then the body cannot digest food, body cannot naturally cannot eat or doesn't feel like eating. Now we cannot stay without breathing even for a minute. But then, at the time, when the time comes, we see the breathing becomes slower and slower and finally we stop breathing. And when you stop breathing, then what happens? We leave the body. Then we don't have to breathe anymore. We means, who are we? The body? No. The one who made this body alive. That is our real identity. Our body is not our real identity. The one who keeps the body alive, that is the person. Many of you may have noticed, like when Mohan Rupa left, we are saying Mohan Rupa left. His body was there, but your consideration is, now he left. Now who left? Was it the body? No. The body is lying there. Now the body is useless. And what did you do? After a while you just burnt the body. So body is not the person. It is the soul that is the person. That is the real identity of every individual, every one of us. And it's very important to get this information about the soul. If we are not equipped with proper information of the soul, our life will be totally wasted. Then what will happen? At the time of death, we won't know how to handle it. We saw Mohan Rupa, when he was leaving the body, how was he? Was he perturbed? Was he disturbed? Was he... No, he was so peaceful. Why? Because he recognized his identity as spiritual. For him it was only a matter of just leaving the body. Yes, it was difficult, like so many years of practices, so many years of habits, of being entangled with the body. Now the time has come to leave the body. But if we know the art of how to leave the body, we will conquer death. If we know how to leave the body, we will attain immortality. And human life is meant for achieve immortality. How do we achieve immortality? It's very simple. To achieve immortality is not at all difficult. But then again, difficult and simple is a relative consideration. If we know, then it is easy. If we do not know, it is difficult, isn't it? At one time I was trying to learn French. And the lady who was teaching me, once I told her that French is very difficult. I find French to be very difficult. She says, no, French is easy. But I insisted, no, French is so difficult. Then she says, no, French is very easy. In France, even children speak French. So point is, when you know something, it is easy. If you do not know something, it is difficult. If you know that you are a spirit soul and this body is just an external covering, it is very easy to leave the body. But if we do not know that fact, if we identify ourselves with the body, then when the time comes for us to leave the body, then what happens? We'll feel, now we are losing everything. Isn't it? Because I don't know anything beyond the body. Or let's consider another situation. You are in a house. The house is falling apart. Now, the government or the municipal authority tells you that, look, your house is falling apart. You leave that house and we have arranged another house for you, which is new and very nice. And now, if you know that there is another house waiting for you, then you won't feel any difficulty in leaving the old dilapidated house, isn't it? Because you know that a better house is waiting for you. But if a person doesn't have that information, that there is another house waiting for him, then he feels, oh my God, if I leave this house, where am I going to go? So let me hold on to this house, even though it's falling apart. The roofs are leaking, the sanitary system doesn't work. But still he wants to continue to live in that house. Therefore it is very important to understand that when we leave this body, another body is actually waiting for us. It's just a matter of changing one body to another. Now, if instead of an old house, if we get a new house, will you reject that proposal? No. If instead of an old dress, you get a new dress, will you reject that proposal? If instead of an old body, if you get a new body, will you accept the proposal or reject it? So naturally, we will accept the proposal because we are getting a better situation. So these informations are available. In our scriptures, all these informations have been very vividly and very extensively explained. But in order to understand that, in order to get those informations, we have to study those scriptures. Not only study, you have to study those scriptures under the guidance of a qualified teacher. Because just the books are not enough. The books have to be explained by a teacher. That's why we need a teacher. Then the subject becomes easy. If we try to master a subject by buying some books from the market ourselves and studying those books, can we really master the subject? No. But when we study under the guidance of a qualified teacher, then very easily we can master the subject. No matter how difficult the subject is. Similarly, this spiritual science is available. The informations about the spiritual reality, which begins with our own spiritual identity. It is not that only we are spiritual. There is another world which is entirely spiritual. Just as this nature is entirely material, not exactly entirely material, I'll say this nature is material, but because of the presence of the spiritual souls, spirit souls, this nature has life. If the souls were not there, then every body would have been dead. Right? Because matter by nature is dead. So everything in this nature would have been dead had the spirit souls not been there. The material nature actually is a combination of matter and spirit. For example, our bodies are made of matter. But as long as the body remains alive, what do we have to understand? What causes this body made of matter to be alive? The presence of the soul. Right? So in this way, in this material nature is a combination of matter and spirit, soul. But there is another reality beyond this material nature, which is completely spiritual. There is no trace of matter. There everything is spiritual. And we all came from that world. We are spiritual, we came from the spiritual world, and our destination is spiritual world. We have to go back to the spiritual world. So spiritual life actually begins with our individual awareness, our own spiritual identity, awareness of our own spiritual identity, but that gradually leads to the entire spiritual reality, and the center of the spiritual reality is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now these informations are available. It is a science. It is not just faith or some blind belief. It is real. It is a science. And when we study this subject under the guidance of a qualified teacher, we can master this science. And when you master the science, then what happens? Then we get a chance, or we become qualified, we become eligible to become situated in our spiritual identity, transcending our bodily designation. And that is the goal of human life. And at a time like this, when a dear one all of a sudden disappears from our midst, a person who had been alive, who had been living for so many years, we had been having our interactions with him, all of a sudden he's no more. At a time like this, it makes us seriously consider. What is life? A person who had been alive for so many years, why all of a sudden he's just gone? The body that was living for so many years, all of a sudden it was dead. And it started to decay. And then we just burnt it, cremated it. It's finished. Their body is turned into ashes. It makes us wonder, then what is this body? But if we get, at a time like this, if we get proper informations about the difference between the body and the soul, we get informations about our real identity being spiritual, then it sinks deep. In a wedding ceremony, I couldn't speak like this, could I? Nobody would listen to me. But today, all of you are listening to me with rapt attention. Why? Because the setup is right. Isn't it? We are aware of the fact that our existence in this material nature is very, very temporary. Any moment we may die. So many people are dying. This morning I got a news that yesterday in Johannesburg I was in a program, and one devotee and his wife came and spoke to me. I knew them for many, many years. And last night when they went back, they just got the news that their son and grandson just died. They were just walking down the road and one car lost control and just ran over. Now this is how uncertain our existence in this material nature is. Individual like Mohan Rupa is very fortunate. They went through their entire life and had a very natural and peaceful departure from the body. But that may not be the case with everyone. And one thing we know, that it doesn't matter how, but someday we all have to die. But if we get proper information, then we get to know what death is. What is death? Death actually is the soul's departure from the body. What is life? The soul's presence in the body. What is birth? The soul's acceptance of a body. A soul accepts a body, new body, we call it birth. And the soul, when soul leaves that body, call it death. And the period between birth and death, when the soul is in the body, we call it life. Now, who am I? Who are we? A little proper information very easily reveals the fact that we are the spirit souls. We are not this body. Where do we get the informations? We get informations like scriptures. We get informations from scriptures like Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna so scientifically gave these informations. We are very fortunate when we have access to a scripture like Bhagavad Gita, where God Himself is speaking about this science. And just consider how Krishna is explaining this fact. Krishna is saying this body is like a dress. His body is just like a dress. And the dress, when the dress becomes old or worn out, then just as we discard that worn out dress and put on a new one, similarly when the body becomes old, we give up that old body and accept a new body. That is what the body is. But our real identity is the soul. What is the soul? Krishna is saying the soul is soul is never born, nor does it ever die. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin. It's never na jayate. The soul is never born, nor does the soul ever die. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavaka. The soul cannot be cut by any weapon. The soul cannot be burnt by fire. The body can be cut by weapon. The body can be burnt by fire, but not the soul. The soul is not affected by these material phenomena. And that soul is our real identity. The soul is eternal. The soul is fully conscious. The soul is so conscious that soul makes this body made of matter conscious. That is how conscious the soul is. and the soul is full of joy, full of bliss. That is the nature of the soul. Sat, Chit and Ananda. Eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And that is what we are. And these spirit souls, what are the spirit souls? They are the parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source and origin of all the souls. It's a very simple knowledge. But the consideration is, how sincerely are we going to accept it? If we accept it, it is easy. Simple. If we don't want to accept it, it will always remain difficult. Therefore, it is important that we take advantage of these informations. We take advantage of receiving these informations from proper source. Because when you receive these informations from proper source, it becomes easy to grasp, easy to understand. Thank you all very much. We all pray to Krishna that he gives Mohan Rupa Das the shelter of his lotus feet and guides him in his wonderful devotional service so that he can always remain, eternally remain engaged in his loving devotional service. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Mohan Rupa Das Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. Can have a little kirtan. Anyway, does anybody have any question? If anybody has any question pertaining to the discussion we just had, feel free to ask. You don't have any question? You have a question? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Oh, I see. Okay. I see. Today we just sing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.